We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to House Plans. How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
Superb.
Superb.
Excellent.
You must have all your Christmas shopping done.
You know, I was just thinking before I said that I didn't have to do much. Mary took care of most of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mary.
I did. We did the online game.
We did, too.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing. You come around County Bank Mortgage, and it looks like Santa Claus
looks like
is coming
Amazon,
to town.
Every day. Looks like an Amazon warehouse.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, there's all kind of stuff coming in. I go up, Ashley, every day, and I say, well, what have you got today? Anything with my name on it?
Yeah,
it's all kind of stuff coming
through.
It's
funny, but I had to go out twice, last weekend and during the middle of the week, to go actually physically go look for something with somebody. And both times I was very surprised at how light the traffic was.
Yeah.
And how uncrowded. I mean,
what section of town were you
in? I went over here where we are.
During
the middle of the week.
Wow.
And in and out.
Gutsiest move I ever saw.
I'm telling you, in and out, no problem. And then last weekend, the mall, and had no problem.
Wow.
I mean, didn't have to park in the overflow parking, just pulled up, found a spot, went in, and did my business.
I'm happy to announce that all Christmas parties have been attended, and I am done with them.
We had a perfect balance this year.
Did you?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you commit too much. Sometimes you think, well, I wouldn't have mind just having one more.
Yeah.
Big and sometimes function. You think you should be committed.
Yes. Yes.
So mine was just right.
Was it?
Just right.
The right size.
Well, this is that middle of the week Christmas, you know, where it falls. It's either what, Tuesday? I don't even know what day it is. Tuesday or Wednesday? I
think Wednesday, JD.
And so we get Tuesday and Wednesday, but, you know, Monday's going to be absolutely dead because, you know, yeah. I mean, it kind of kills the whole week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that.
I like to think of it as improving the entire week, not killing the whole
week.
I mean,
that's
we
right.
won't do any loans, but I mean, you know, well, you know, I was surprised. There are a number of attorneys that are just said we're off the whole week.
Well, I got a deal funding on Monday.
Yeah.
And so refinance it closed, you know, Wednesday or whatever. And the attorney called me and he said, listen, he goes, I want to talk to you about the wire. And I said, well, you know, it doesn't fund until Monday, you know. And he said, well, I don't know what your plans are, but I don't want to be sitting around this office all day on Monday waiting on it.
Waiting on the money.
So I said, well, I think we usually wire, you know, the day before. So I said, it should be there probably Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, that was Keith Clark rule number 9.
Yes.
Keith.
That was early.
This was 100 years ago, it seems like. And Keith had a deal that we were doing the loan, and it got moved from like 4 o'clock in the afternoon to like 8 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we all sat around going, well, there's not going to be any money because we sent the money today. And so it'll show up about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and, you know, which is about when the closing would be over. And we call it the Keith Clark rule. So now if you use County Bank and it is a purchase transaction, we will wire the money the day before. Now, that cost us Wednesday's interest on all that money.
It's expensive.
But it is worth it because you should never have a dry closing if you do your loan with County Bank Mortgage. And, of course, a lot of people go, well, what in the world is a dry closing? That is one of the most uncomfortable events. That's like, you know.
Keith Clark doesn't like that.
That
conversation is bigger than just what you're describing. I mean, the fact that the money arrives the day before allows everybody, not just the people at the closing, but it allows
everybody
to plan what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and when they can get started, right?
Right. Well, right. Not to mention if there's a domino, if it's back-to-back closings or you're contingent on selling.
That's right. Now, I'll tell you guys something. We're telling the audience right now, but unless the people at that participate
yes.
know that you're doing it, why you're doing
right.
it, it's for their benefit and what you expect them to do because you did it, then you're not leveraging it as well as,
well,
right?
Absolutely. And, so, of course, the call that we get generally is from the agent that says, hey, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
And they're looking at today
yesterday.
Instead of looking there yesterday.
Right.
And it's just one of the things that we like to do.
To overperform.
To overperform, to be a little different.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, you know, that's like, that's it's very uncomfortable to sit at the table and everybody just smile at each other because there's no money.
And all
there.
The big boys, by the way, want to see the docs now signed before
yes.
they'll wire.
That's right. And so you go to the closing, you sign it, you send it, somebody picks it up, reviews it.
And if they're lunch.
Yeah, if they're at lunch, they're at lunch. Sorry for your luck. So it is a little bit different. That's why JD likes to say, if you're going to do a loan, that's fine. Shop on the internet if you want. But when it comes time to do business local.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we'll get into that here after our first break of the show. So you're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this talking real estate here on House Plans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate all our texters, listeners, and phone callers and everything else. Your last show of 2019, our 17th year.
That's insane.
Yes. Start year 18 next year.
Year 18.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it'll be the 20th year that we've been together.
Wow.
We started in January of 2001.
That's what my buddy in New Jersey says. How about them apples?
Well, we do need to. We got to have a big show since it's the last one. So we need some texters and some callers. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, or if you need a gift idea for somebody close to you, you can text us and. We will be happy to try to answer it. 71307, that's 71307. Or if you want to go so far as to talk to us, you can reach us at 866-442-7553. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Anything to do with real estate, or if you just need a gift idea.
I will say this. I want to thank all of our clients from this year.
Yeah, we should.
Been a great year.
It's been the best year that we have ever had. at County Bank Mortgage.
And even we're slow learners. It took us 20 years to get there.
That's right. Even better than some of the first Palmetto days back in the first refi and second refi boom and the, everything else has gone on. But the obviously the purchase market has been fantastic in the Greenville area.
Another record year, right?
Another record year, yep. And with interest rates low, it kind of created that perfect storm of and we kind of – listen, I remember, Chris, I think it was either the first week in April – I think it was the first week of April, and we were looking at the first quarter numbers. And we were kind of like, I mean, we really need to sort of pick it up here a little bit.
Yeah, I went through a whole box of Kleenex.
Well, don't you remember on January we went into a panic? Remember January's numbers down. Were
20%
down.
Yeah.
Down 20% were all
year over year.
Yeah,
the market in general was really scratching its head to say, is this going to be a, I mean, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But just the opposite
we were making
happened.
Excuses. There were a couple snow days, and we were like, yeah, it's got pushed back. I mean, we were just... And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody turned the faucets on, and then the handle came
and it's
off.
Flowing. And, you know, I spent we had three slow weeks of applications just because short week, you know, couple of this, couple of that. And at our LO meeting, I was complaining, and J.D. came back in there and said, hey, you can stop complaining. They're flowing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's like, it's coming.
Well, I will say that typically in the last 20 years anyway, you know, the app typically around December the 10th, things slow down. People start kind of focusing more on the Christmas season and everything else. But this year has been fairly steady, you know, right up until even yesterday.
Yeah, so, my sense is it's going to continue right away in January. I don't think we're going to have a pause. You know, people will be getting off the plane looking for houses again.
Sure.
In 2020.
And I think it helps that while inventory is still not where we'd like to see it at 6 months, but inventory in our particular market has improved a little bit, and so there are some properties out there. You see neighborhoods popping up here and there. Actually had a loan we closed, we're closing next week, but it is a buy and tear down to build.
No kidding, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, found the right lot in the right place with a fairly old home, very tiny home on it. And so they bought the lot, going to tear it down, and then, you know, just going to build what they want, you know, which is not a bad way to go.
I don't have the guts to do that.
Well, if the numbers is just the numbers, right?
It's the numbers. You've got to make the numbers
work. If the house and the lot are potentially not worth what building a new home on the lot, well, you do the math and say, hey. And, of course, if it's in the right location, you might pay a premium for it.
When I hear that, I hear liquid.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does cost money. I mean, these folks have plenty of money, and they bought it with cash, and then they're going to use us to do the construction to perm and working with the local builder that we know and have had quite a bit of success with, so it's been good all around. And then, of course, you know, it has been a fantastic year, and I will say that, you know, for the first time in a long time, I feel like the underwriting guidelines and requirements are kind of right in the middle where they need to be. We're not too far to the left or too far to the right. And, you know, sometimes the borrower will still get a little bit frustrated when you ask for things because you do need to, you know, basically what I tell people is, look, we just took an application and everything that you told me we're going to have to prove. And so we may prove it electronically, we may prove it with paper, we may, you know, but we got to prove it all because, you know, if you go back and look at the foreclosure numbers, you go back and look at the delinquency numbers, they're the best they've ever been as far as being very, very low from a historical standpoint. And I think the underwriting guidelines have kind of sat in the middle for the last, you know, 2 years, making it a lot easier to buy a home than a lot of people think. And, you know, we recently had an opportunity to talk to some of the folks that work on the front line at County Bank, and I said, you know, when you have folks give you the yeah, but my credit's not perfect, you need to know that you don't have to have perfect credit. You don't have to have 800 scores to buy a house in today's market. And when they say, yeah, but I don't have any money to put down, you know, you don't have to have a lot of money to put down. You get a FHA loan with 3.5%, and that can be a gift. And then probably mid-January, even if you're in that mid to low income department, the Federal Home Loan Bank, second subsidy will roll back out, so you can get, you know, you put $1,000 in, you get $5,000 in down payment money. I mean, so there's a lot of good things going on out there to kind of help this market go. But I just have a feeling that it's very, very healthy at the moment.
Yeah, and it feels that way to me, too. I mean, I think both obviously there's a little bit more growth in our market than there are in some other markets.
Sure.
But I think that's in the long run, that's we expected that, right? We knew that Greenville was going to move from a medium-sized market towards a larger market, and we're going to see that over the next 20 years. So it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how, you know, you have the Spartanburg MLS and the Greenville and the Anderson. It'll be interesting as all the markets start to grow together,
mm-hmm.
you know, how much overlap you'll have between those. And there's overlap now.
I was pondering that yesterday. Right now I'm not a member. Yet typically I've been a member of Spartanburg. I guess there was a break at one point where I was not a member. I typically am a member when it's beneficial. So
sure.
The last few years I really haven't focused. If somebody says, hey, let's work on the lake, I might say, I know it well enough, but I just don't want to do it right now.
Right.
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 And then refer them to somebody who's but as our market becomes a large market, we should have access to the entire market. And you can search in the Spartanburg MLS, but the Western Upstate, they changed their MLS vendor. So we've got some work to do to be a fully integrated market.
Yeah, sure.
But hopefully we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple annual mortgage checkup calls this week as well. And I'm kind of expecting, you know, all the people who escrow their taxes and insurance, I'm expecting the tax bills to show up at the county this towards the latter part of this week.
Sure.
Maybe the very beginning of the next week. You know, they send the checks at the beginning of December, but it takes time for the county to be able to
post them.
Process. Yeah. And typically that happens between Christmas and New Year's. So I'm expecting that to happen. So, you know, we're in that kind of that in-between stage where if you're refinancing, you know, the tax bill hasn't posted yet, but it's been taken out of your,
sure,
you know, escrow account and all that. So there'll be a lot of that kind of stuff happening as well.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout this morning. You can reach us on the text line at 71307. That's 71307. Or you can call us at 866-442-7553. Christian J.D. from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker here to answer your questions, calls, comments. Love to hear from you. You know, J.D., you know, I know I've heard three or four people in the office over the last 10 days talk about how some of their customers have called them and said, hey, look at these tax bills. And we found many, you know, we talk about it a lot, but, you know, it saves people money, so I think we should. We found many folks that are paying too much in taxes simply because they didn't apply for the discount or the 4% favored rate for a primary residence. And, you know, it's significant. I mean, one of these folks, you know, $174,000 house, I think, and the tax bill was $2,200, and it should have been $800.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, especially people who purchased a home in the last maybe 12 to 15 months. You know, a lot of times when they buy the house, the taxes may have been paid by the seller. I mean, it could have been an investment property by the seller. They may have never applied for the 4% rate. And so, you know, very important to check that out. And, of course, if you are escrowing and you have not done that, you really could find out in January,
sure,
when your mortgage payment goes up, you know, a few hundred dollars, and you're kind of like, okay, what happened?
And what we're talking about, JD, is the county gives the primary residence a tax break, and everything else is taxed at a higher rate.
That's
so,
right.
And the county refers to it as a legal residence rate. So if you are a legal resident of your property, then you qualify for a reduced rate of what we typically refer to as 4%. But the good thumbnail rule is 800 per 100,000 is what it should be.
Yep. Sure.
And if it's not, it's 2400 per 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, you know, we've had a lot of success also reviewing insurance policies. You know, for whatever reason, all the big boys tend to raise their premiums up.
As well as the value of the property.
As well as the value of the property and that sort of thing. And there's always a lot of changes to an insurance policy, even if you do not call your agent and request those changes. You know, just different things that are happening. And,
sure.
We've noticed a lot of people who it may have been the best deal when they closed, but 5 years later, you may not be in the same policy or be in the best policy that maybe you should be in. So,
well, we do have our first text question of the day, one of my favorites. It says, mid-600 FICOs, house appraisal at 108 can buy for 75. Any chance of a no-money-down mortgage?
Great question.
Yeah, and, of course, first thing I think of is one of our favorite products, which is a VA.
Yep.
I mean, so if you are a veteran, you could certainly purchase that property with no money down. That's 100% loan-to-value. If you're not a veteran, the next thing that comes to mind is USDA.
Yeah, you could do the USDA loan depending on your income level as where the property is. If it's in a USDA designated area, then you could qualify for that. Of course, there's always the income. You know, we have the Federal Home Loan Bank on the down Seconds. Payment assistance program.
That's
that,
right.
Sometimes
that,
we can
that would not be no money down, but for $1,000 in. Based on your income level, you can pick up an additional $4,000 that's free.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a great deal for sure. That's free money.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I think about, Chris, when I read that text is, okay, if it really will appraise for 108 and you can really buy for 75, do you have some type of relationship with that seller? If it's a relative of yours, they could do what's called a gift of equity.
Absolutely.
As your down payment, and you could use the difference between that 108 and that 75 basically to use as your down payment.
And avoid a little MI.
Avoid the PMI. So there could be a great way to do that. And, you know, the mid 600 score, you're going to be fine, should be able to qualify that way as long as income and all that shakes out. But, yeah, a lot of opportunities there. And, of course, you can always figure out exactly what you want to do by just calling us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663 during the week. And one of our loan officers would be glad to talk to you.
You can shoot an email over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we'll be happy to hook up and kind of, you know, look at your situation. But that gift of equity, that
we've
is
done
a good
couple
idea.
Of those. Yeah, I've got one in the pipe idea. Right now. It's a great deal. He's buying his house from his mom, and you know, it'll probably appraise for $200. He's buying for $150. I mean, it's just it's a really nice way to put those deals together.
Well, so. I think the thing people miss about that sometimes is, like you said. So in this case, let's just say $175. If he got that $25,000 as a gift of equity, he would be buying at a 75 loan to value instead of 100.
Yeah.
And
improves your rate.
The rate would be better, no MI, the whole nine yards.
Yep. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. Jeff Brown, if you'll hold on through the break, we'll come to you first. When we get back, you're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. That was good. Let's do that again. Let's do it together.
Yeah, exactly like at the same time.
Yeah, but welcome back to House Plans. We appreciate you listening today. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout, 866-442-7553. We do have Jeff holding on the line. We're going to go over to Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Jeff, are you there? There we go.
Hello.
Hey,
Jeff.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
So my main question is whether I should go with a commercial real estate agent or residential. I've got a 6-bedroom house on 101, and I'm being surrounded now by a bunch of trucking companies and the Michelin Distribution Center and all that other stuff that's coming in on 101.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So whether I should go commercial or not.
What are you doing with the property?
Do you presently live in it?
It's your primary?
Yes.
Yeah, so Keith, that's one of your favorite topics to talk about.
What is the highest and best use
of that property, and an appraiser might be the right person to
ask. That's probably an opinion of value from someone who knows. Unless you're going to do a commercial appraisal, I would probably just have schedule appointments with both. My instincts tell me that I know exactly where you're talking about. You know, that Michelin distribution facility, that thing is huge, isn't it? I mean, it is just gigantic. Yes. And chances are that the property is going to be more valuable commercially than it is residentially. And because of where it's located, there would probably be limited use to its residential nature. And what I mean by that, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, could it be a bed and breakfast? If someone were going to live in it as a primary residence, they would probably want it to be discounted because of its location.
And I wonder about zoning as well.
And that would be, of course, really probably the first thing. I'm assuming that it's just zoned residentially now. Have you looked on the tax data to see what it's zoned?
We're in an unzoned area.
Okay, so no restrictions. Then chances are it's going to be commercially a little bit more valuable. But I think I would meet with both a residential agent and a commercial agent, get their opinions. I'm guessing that both of them may say, typically today we want an appraisal if possible. So we can do an opinion of value, but a formal opinion of value, what would be referred to as an appraisal, was probably the best approach. But I think I would start with one of each, have an appointment, get their opinions, and then see where you go from there.
When you say one of each, you're not talking about one appraisal. You're talking about one agent.
One commercial agent and one residential agent.
And I can tell you, on both sides of that fence, we can help you with a referral. JD and I have a couple of commercial real estate agents that we've done business with over the year. And then, of course, also, if you're looking for a particular residential agent, JD could give you a referral if he sends you an email, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can email me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we can hook you up to at least have a conversation. I think that's where it needs to start.
Where it needs to start.
Well, you know, one of our big commercial agents, we got a, you know how you get a notice when something sells? I mean, they just sold a 113-acre or 118-acre tract. And, you know, they were talking about that. I think that was out on 78, was it?
I think so. I can't. Yeah.
But we know some folks that work in both areas, and we'd be happy to give you a referral. But that's a great question, because that highest and best use is going to give you the best return when you sell that property. Where are you going to move to?
Yeah.
We're empty nesters now, so just probably heading north to North Carolina.
Okay.
And Jeff, how many acres is it on? Is it frontage on 101?
My driveway hits 101, but we're kind of nestled back off of 101 with 3.5 acres.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
that'll
be great.
Going to start with appointments with both.
Yeah. And then, if you want a referral, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love a referral, because now I'm kind of concerned about a conflict of interest with all the other commercial guys that are around me.
Sure.
So I want to make sure I'm doing what's in my best interest.
Let's talk about that. That's a great point that's not often brought up, Jeff, because many times people will choose an agent that they consider an expert in that area who may actually have something that they're competing listing that's competing with your listing.
Sure.
So that's something to evaluate too. You're spot on.
Yeah, I think you'll see some individual agents that will maybe work in a particular area, and so you see their signs all over the place. And I think you make a great point, Jeff. Sometimes you need an outsider to look in and go, well, what about this, what about this, what about this? Now, certainly, you always want somebody who has experience in the particular market you're talking about, but you might not want the one person that has 90% of the signs
That's
up.
That's right. I mean, most people would think that the instinct is to think just the opposite.
They know all about this. Right. Let's pick them. But they also are holding all the cards. But something to think about. But, J.D., tell him how to reach out to you.
Yeah, again, it's AskJD at countybankmortgage.com, A-S-K-J-D at countybankmortgage.com, or you can just pick up the phone and call us during the week at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. We appreciate the call, Jeff.
I appreciate it.
All right, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yeah, that is a great question. And, you know, Keith, we find it a lot of times. So somebody calls us and says, hey, do you have acreage limitations? And then the first thing I know is, okay, this is going to be on, you know, 8 to 108. You know, it's going to be somewhere in there. And that's exactly where the conversation goes from there is when you get ready to do an appraisal, the question becomes, what is the highest and best use? And we just recently had this come up on a, not a lakefront property, but you know how in some locations you'll have the lake, then you'll have maybe a boat dock, road, and a house?
Mm-hmm.
So we had one of those situations. But the thing that was interesting about this is behind the property, there were four lots. That there was a proposed road to go in, but it hadn't gone in since 1958. And so when the appraiser was doing that appraisal, we came back and said, whoa, you didn't give any value to these four lots that are behind this house. And he said, well, I can't, because the highest and best use for those is to build that road and put a house on each one. And so I can't really give it any additional value. Your buyer is going to be happy that they have it, okay? But if that road goes in, he's going to just subdivide it up, and he's going to build four houses on it, and his is going to be paid for. So, you know, it's just highest and best use is something that you always need to think about. And it kind of goes hand in hand a lot of times with what we see with over-improvement. I had one of those this week, too, where somebody had gone into a tract-built neighborhood, been there for a while, and decided that they were going to redo their kitchen, but they redid their kitchen like it was – you know, I mean, Viking appliances, the best granite. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous, but they were absolutely upset that the appraiser could not give them, they gave them credit for the renovation, but they couldn't give them anywhere near the amount of money that they spent.
Yep.
They spent 50 when they could have spent 15, and there was some upset people.
Yeah, and that's a common mistake. It's not uncommon, particularly if you think you're going to be in the house for a while. And, of course, I'm going to be in the house for a while.
Those are famous last words. I've had so many conversations with people, you know, that, oh, yeah, we're not moving. And then 2 years later, hey,
guess
we're
what?
Moving. Exactly.
Yeah. Those are famous last words. Yeah. They're going to take me out of here in a box.
Right.
It's going to be moving boxes when you decide mama wants something else.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. You've got about 12 or 13 minutes left to get into the call for 2019. Otherwise, you'll have to wait to 2020. So,
there you go. 2020, can you believe it?
I know it. You're listening to House Plans, J.D. and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the buyer's broker. The text line will remain open at 71307, or you can call in 866-442-7553. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans, final segment of 2019. You better get on the phone and call us, 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307. Shoot us a text, give us a call. And I can't believe this is the 17th year we're wrapping up.
Is this the last show we're going to take the next 2 weeks off?
One week. There's only one more Saturday.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
All right.
Those retired people, J.D., they can't
keep track of the calendar. He doesn't know the difference of Saturday and he doesn't know anything.
Well, we do have another good, really good text question that came in. They're trying to stump us on the last second, maybe the last or second to the last question. It says, Merry Christmas, guys. And, of course, we'd say Merry Christmas back. But it said, would you comment on a home closing 500 square feet or less than was listed?
Oh, Keith Clark.
Wow, what a good conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it happens more often than we think it happens.
And probably in both directions,
yes,
right, Keith?
It does. In our MLS in particular, we use a wide range of for square footage.
Yeah,
the field
so
that says
there'll be different levels and there'll be a wide bracket between here and there.
Yeah, and for example, the category from 28, I think it's 28 to 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's a lot of difference.
And typically, if you do an appraisal, you're going to have a variance too, right? So
yes,
if you do two appraisals, you
yes
could have as much as a 10% variance depending
yep
on the size of the house. That can be a good bit of square footage.
Yes, and as a general rule, any variance that is within inside 100 square feet one way or the other, the appraiser will say, "Heh." And of course, people say, "Well, wait a minute, you got a 1200 square foot house. There's a lot of difference between 1200 and 1299." But the general rule is if it's within 100 feet, then it's the same number either way.
Yeah, and then the other conversation is that there is typically an appraisal that is given to the buyer before closing, and that appraisal has the square footage in it, and so the buyer typically is aware of it and accepts it, and they sign an affidavit at closing saying that they've had the opportunity to get a copy of the appraisal.
Absolutely. We're required by law to provide it 3 days in advance unless you – 3 days in advance of closing, unless you waive that right. And if you waive that right, you can get it up to the day of closing. But you have to have it prior to closing. And as a general rule, it needs to have been reviewed by the underwriter prior to you getting it so that it's been looked at. And then if there's any significant corrections that need to be done, you should then get another copy, specifically if they have anything to do with value. But, Keith, we've had experience on both sides. I mean, JD's own personal house was underlisted, right, JD?
Yeah, it was listed for 3,800 maybe, and it was 4,400 or whatever.
Yeah, which is a big difference.
Yeah, it was a big difference. Maybe been less than that. Maybe been 3,600. Anyway, my next door neighbor house is now under contract. He sold his house, and I know the square footage that they listed the house for, and I'm not sure it's that big. I could be wrong. This is just eyeballing it, but I'll be interested to see. I think it's about 200 or 300 square feet smaller than
that. Yeah, and the MLS typically has a disclaimer that says information deemed reliable, but it's the duty of the buyer to.
All right, we get a follow up comment. Okay. Keith, you're not going to like this.
That's
one.
Okay. We can
it
have a
says,
difference of opinion.
House was about 2,000 square feet, and the seller didn't want an appraisal on a cash deal.
The seller didn't.
Well, let me tell you this. The seller never wants an appraisal.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is that they didn't want to go get it appraised. They were buying it for cash.
Right.
And the seller said, hey, we don't need an appraisal. We've all agreed on this contract. Let's just move on. And we would say absolutely not, never, right?
Yeah, no, that would be the buyer's decision. Now, if
yes
the seller persuaded the buyer to do that would be on the buyer, I think, not the seller.
Sure. Yeah, you're exactly
you
right.
Have the opportunity to inspect the property. And again, typically, Chris, we always say let's read the contract, but
right
we're making some assumptions here. One is that the buyer had the opportunity to inspect the property, and number two, that typically they would have an appraisal.
Yeah, but we always recommend that you have the house measured and appraised, even on a loan that JD would get. Now, not on a refi, okay, because it doesn't matter, not in my opinion, but on a purchase, even if you get a property inspection waiver, we would say, look, go get your own appraisal so that you feel comfortable about
sure
what's going on here.
That's right.
And in that way, you can at least know. But in this particular situation, you can also, and maybe folks don't know this, you can always hire an appraiser to come out and measure the house.
Well, typically you would.
You know, right? But I'm saying you don't want to pay for a whole appraisal. You could say, well, look, come out and measure this, or your agent. Some agents are highly qualified to measure, but an appraiser could certainly do it for probably $100 or $150 and tell you what the square footage is. But, you know, if the seller misrepresented the size of the house and then, you know, encouraged you not to have it appraised, that stinks a little bit, doesn't
it? Yeah, I don't know how much liability they would have in that situation, but they could have some.
Yeah, it'd be worth talking to a real estate attorney.
Yep. Well, listen, we got a phone call here. We got Robert on the line. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Just calling to wish you a Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you have a great time. And thank you for everything you've done every Saturday, helping people out.
Hey, we appreciate it too, Robert. I know Robert Ortega over in Spartanburg. You're looking forward to the 2020 year and doing a lot of business?
Absolutely, yes.
Have you set your goal
this year?
We're just getting ready. Took the words out of your mouth, Keith.
Yeah, that's right. Have you set your goals for next year, Robert?
I have already, but I'm happy to report that I went over my goal for this year.
So there you go. There you
congratulations.
Hey, yeah. Congratulations.
That's great. Well, we appreciate all your calls this year and participation in the show. Calling in and give us some Spartanburg updates.
We consider you an important part of the show, Robert.
That's well, right. I mean, it's nice to hear things that are happening live. You know, Robert called us about the iBuyers and the things like that. Yeah. And those are all live topics that are happening on the ground. You know, one of the most successful things about our show is we sit down every day before we start it and we say, well, what happened last week? We talk about that current stuff, and I certainly appreciate you bringing that to us, Robert, because it's I think it's very interesting to see what's going on live in the market. We do appreciate it.
Indeed.
Well, listen, I hope your family has a Merry Christmas, and thanks for calling in.
It's quite all right. All the best to you, and Happy New Year as well.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah. That's a. It's always interesting to know what's going on in other markets because, you know, as much as we try to stay in touch, sometimes you miss. Well, I didn't want to finish the show without talking about the conforming limits. I think, J.D., you and I were both, you know, they're kind of surprised about how much they went up again. You know, probably in the middle, the 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, we went 4 or 5 years where the conforming limit didn't move.
Never changed.
417-something. And, wow.
Now up to 5-10 and some change.
Yeah.
And so what that means for borrowers is now you can get conforming interest rates as opposed to a jumbo interest rate as long as your loan amount is at 5-10 or less. And so, you know, that's a, you know, for anyone that has a loan that falls in that, you know, $500,000 range, most likely you're paying jumbo interest rates right now. So and what that means is many people on the jumbo rate are probably paying between 4.25% and 5%, even if you bought your home 12 months ago, 18 months ago.
Yep.
You know, so a refinance for those borrowers would make a lot of sense. In fact, I had two customers this week that I spoke to that we did loans for about 2 years ago, both of them paying in that 4.75% to 5% range on a jumbo loan. Now we're coming back and talking about doing about a 505, you know, loan size, and you're talking about doing a 30-year fixed in the high threes.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're making...
That'll save just a little bit of cash.
Yeah, it sure will, no doubt. And what a lot of people don't understand, too, is when the conforming loan goes up, the FHA loan limit also goes
Keith,
up.
Keith, that was JD's pop quiz question at the LO meeting.
Yep.
Is how is the FHA limit established?
Yep. And 65% of whatever the conforming loan limit is determines what the FHA loan limit is. So without doing that math in my head, if you take 65% of 510, it's like 330 or something like that. It's 330
and that's
change.
A good number.
I mean, that's FHA a really good number good in number. Our market, yep. Considering the median home price is somewhere in the mid... You know, the low two and a quarter, something like that. That, you know, you're going to have a lot of houses that fit that FHA bucket. And, you know, rates on the FHA are going to be lower. Let's not forget that. They're going to be lower because, you know, those loans are backed by the government. And you are going to have to pay mortgage insurance. It's never going to go away. But it's still a great loan if you're looking for a low down payment purchase.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, if you're below 90% on an FHA, then the PMI only lasts for 11 years. So
yeah,
it's not permanent.
Had one of those this week too, because we were talking about MI factors in our processor meeting, and somebody said, well, you know, doesn't it stay forever? And I was like, if you put 10% down on an FHA loan, you're going to have MI, but it's only for 11 years. So yeah, that's one way to kind of do it. And, of course, a lot of in this market, Keith, where you're seeing these expanding values, you know, we have a lot of people that go in and buy. JD's done many of these. They go in and buy with FHA. 3 years later, their property's gone up 10, 12, 15%. And they've paid it down a little bit. They turn around and do a refi and get rid of the MI.
Buy PMI. Well, what, you know, Chris, you make a great point. You know, the interest rate on FHA loans is always about a quarter to three-eighths better than what you can get on conventional, even if you have a top-shelf credit score. And in many instances, if they're putting at least 10% down, you know, or let's say you're putting, you know, let's use that example, 90%. The PMI on a conventional loan on a 90% deal is probably going to last 7 or 8 years anyway.
That's correct.
So you're really only extending that term for about 2 or 3 years for the PMI. So a lot of times it does make sense to do the FHA in that situation.
Yeah, and you do not, if you're interested in doing what JD was talking about, taking the jumbo out because now the limit went up, you don't have to wait till January to apply or look at it. Most of the investors and Fannie and Freddie are already allowing us to take applications and do stuff like that.
Yep.
So you can always give us a call and just reach out to JD.
Absolutely. You can catch us during the week at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Or, of course, you can always email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We hope all our listeners and texters have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. We'll be off next week, but we'll be back to start the 2020 year in a couple of weeks. Hope everyone has a good one. You've been listening to House Plans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.